Sacramento Police Department.
Now, does the Sheriff's Department have their own program? The
Sheriff's Department does not have a similar police accountability program.
Okay. What would you recommend to somebody that was looking at setting up a program? What would you recommend? Maybe some bumps you've had along the way, things you'd recommend that they look out for in setting up a program?
I think initially all stakeholders in the process need to be involved in dialogue about whether police accountability is needed, and if so, what kind of police accountability agency should exist and what the power should be. That should be open dialogue between members of the community, members of the executive police, police executives, members of the rank-and-file police union, city attorney's office, city government, representatives from various segments of the community. Everybody who has a stake in this thing needs to be involved in the dialogue initially. And as the project developed, as we did here, once we created this office, which was created at the direction and recommendation of a Blue Ribbon panel of citizens, once it was created, then it became necessary to meet with the police union, and with one of the first orders of business that I had when I came after being hired was to meet with the union and meet with the attorney's office and meet with citizens groups and meet with Blue Ribbon panel folks and determine exactly what type of authority and responsibility the officers had. Again, the critical thing here is communication from start and continuing. You got to have that communication level. That was very important. The other thing is having an ongoing outreach effort to the community once the office is open, and an in-reach into the department. By that I mean participating in ride-alongs, going to roll calls, talking to officers about what it is that the office does. All those types of things are important to get the office up and rolling and then to maintain it down the positive course.
Before the department was set up, was there any feeling in the minority communities that the police were profiling or targeting people racially? And has there been any type of work on that from your department?
The answer to that would be yes. Hang on a second, would you? Can you hold it?
Okay.
Okay, the answer to that would be yes. I mean, there's always that concern when you have a certain segment of the community that feel that they are being treated unfairly by the police department. You're going to have accusations of racial profiling. You're going to have those kinds of concerns. One of the things that we did here was we also, and it's another recommendation from our office to the city manager and to the city council, was that we begin to conduct a racial profiling data collection effort. And that was a recommendation of the Office of Police Accountability in conjunction with the police chief. And we made that recommendation, the city council approved it, and we are now entering into the third year of the compilation and analysis of this data to see, number one, if that problem of racial profiling exists, and then secondly, if it does, what the extent of it is, and how we need to deal with it in terms of making sure it doesn't happen in the future.
Has there been a fiscal savings to the city as a result of your department?
Well, one thing you're never going to be able to measure is going to be the number of lawsuits or that sort of thing that have been avoided. I can't give you a measure on that in terms of any savings. I do think that our office is part of the city manager's office. My office is part of that office, and so there's no, aside from staff costs and materials to support staff, there's no other cost to the city. I see that as a small amount of money compared with the amount of money that's saved from potential lawsuits. And then again, it's hard to put a price tag as well on what I do believe are improved relationships between the police department and the community. And that's the bottom line of any kind of a police accountability office, is an improvement in that relationship.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk with us, Don.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be down there tomorrow. Will you be covering the meetings?
And this is KFCF in Fresno, listener-supported non-commercial radio for the Central San Joaquin Valley. What's happening down there, Lee? Hello, Lee? Hello, Lee? So much for high technology. Okay, we're going to try and go to our live broadcast here now.
Our office called to ask the daily Teresa comes with excellent credentials and can speak for themselves. She is the independent police auditor from the city of San Jose. She is also an attorney and a former DEA agent. There's much to say about Teresa, but I'll let her tell you because much of her experience leads into her excellent presentation. In the meantime, I'd like to introduce somebody that's been working very hard on the project for the last 3 years, and that would be Ms. Ellie Bluestein, who is also one of the leading activists for the Central California Criminal Justice Committee. Sure. Ellie, can you come up here?
Good evening. Inside the packet that you received, there's a letter from the Central California Criminal Justice Committee that explains a little bit about the history of this. And it was signed by me and Mr. Cedric Carterman over there. And the two of us have been working on this committee for almost 3 years. And a little bit of the history is that it started because of complaints from people in the community about racial profiling and other perceived abuses by the police department. Many people came to talk to us as soon as the committee formed. It was just formed by ordinary citizens who were interested in doing something about it, and it's open to anyone. And our next meeting is Wednesday, next Wednesday at 6 o'clock at the Sarah McCardle Room. So anybody who's interested in working on this with us, please come. Everybody is welcome. This is no hand-picked committee. When people kept coming to us with these complaints and concerns, we realized that we have to do something about it, and so we started studying what other cities and communities had done. We really did a lot of work. We got reports from other cities. We joined the National Organization for Police Oversight. And we invited four people from cities, different cities in California that had different kinds of systems to come and talk to us. And Tenesquedero Daily was one of them. We videotaped each of the sessions. They were half-day sessions, very full, complete explanations of what was being done in these cities. We videotaped them. We studied the videotapes. Lucia Wheaton prepared a summary of each of the four with the pros and cons. She took our notes. She took the videos. We really compared them and decided that the one we thought would work best in Fresno was the San Jose model. So we prepared a proposal for an independent police auditor for the city of Fresno. We referred it to several lawyers. We refined it. We did about six drafts before we came up with the proposal. And this is the proposal. We then presented it to each one of our city council members and got almost no response. We're very disappointed. And two of the city council members attended a couple of the forums. And that was all until today. We then met with the police chief and the mayor and presented the same proposal. And the police chief was very positive in his response. And the mayor said he would study it and get back to us. He hasn't really gotten back to us yet, but he certainly has gotten back to the public about it. And we're very pleased with the positive response he has given. So now, the reason I'm giving you all this background is that we're very pleased with the positive response from the mayor and the police chief. But unless the city council comes on board, it will be very difficult. So if you feel this will be a good thing for the city, then you need to contact your city council members and tell them so. The other thing we want to ask is that we have worked very hard on this. We feel we are very well versed in the possibilities for this and the different possibilities that are available and the purposes of it. And we feel it's important when the final proposal is adopted by the city council that people from the community have input into what comes out. That this is not just a project of the mayor and the city manager and the police chief and people in government, but that people in the community have a chance to participate because we've been doing a lot of work on it. And so We want that to be a part of the proposal. We want you to be aware of that, and we want our city council members to be aware of that, too. That's all.
If there's anyone out there that needs simulcast translation, Gloria Hernandez here has the equipment to set you up. You want to do that in Spanish, Gloria?
Si hay alguien que necesita intérprete, por favor, venir al frente a hablar conmigo. Gracias.
I want to do the translation in Hmong, but I don't see any other substitution that don't speak English here. I see only maybe one or two. So when more people coming, I will do a translation. Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to introduce now our speaker for the evening, and that's Teresa Guerrero Daly. Can we give her a hand, please?
You're listening to KFCF in Fresno, and the Fresno
we did have a,
police auditor
PowerPoint
for
presentation
live from City
for you
Hall
this afternoon. But you know, you can't rely on technology, so I brought my good old, you know, hard copy. Thank you very much for inviting me to be here today. First, I would like to send greetings from our mayor Ron Gonzalez and our city council, and also before I forget, I'd like to introduce my community outreach coordinator Francis Gonzalez, and I do have. We had a few copies of our PowerPoint presentation that if you want to get to her, your name and address, we'd be glad to mail it to you. Should the technical problems get resolved soon, then we'll just catch up with our presentation. But in the interest of time, I know several of you have to leave, and I'm sure that you know you have families and dinners to get to. I will proceed. The city of San Jose is roughly a city of about 900,000 people with a police department of about 1,500 sworn officers. Our whole focus, our jurisdiction, is strictly with the sworn personnel, not with the civilian personnel, not with the reserve officers, but strictly sworn personnel. What is our mission? Our mission, the cornerstone of our mission, is independence. Independence from City Hall, independence from the police, and even independence from community members. So that our objective is to provide an independent, thorough, and objective review of the investigations conducted of citizen complaints. Civilian oversight by the Independent Police Auditor's Office is about police accountability. It is not about police persecution. And that's a very important distinction that I believe that people need to understand, because I have talked to many people. I've been doing this job for 9 years now, and oftentimes people have a misperception that if you support police oversight, you're anti-police, and that is not the case. And as I'll go through my presentation, I'll give you some examples of why that's not the case. Let me quote to you, to put this in perspective, a quote by LA Police Chief Bernard Parks. He said, this was following the Rampart scandal, he said, "Our failure to carefully review reports, to examine events closely, to identify patterns, and to provide effective oversight and auditing created the opportunity for this cancer to develop and to grow." This was Chief Parks with hindsight after the Rampart scandal. Let me give you some historical background as to how our office came to be. Shortly after the Rodney King incident, there was a movement by grassroots organizations, students, and how civilian oversight started in San Jose is very similar to what I see here in Fresno and in many other cities. There was some rioting and some demonstrations that were going on in San Jose in 1992, so that the interest was pretty much at the level that it is here in Fresno. Some council members were aware of it. You know, some supported, some had doubts, some, you know, did not. And so that not much was moving. However, in after the Rodney King verdict, there was an occasion where over 200 young people and activists stormed City Hall and basically took over and forced the council and the mayor to retreat. Well, that got their attention. So that shortly thereafter, two studies were launched. One by the police department. It was spearheaded by the police department. The other was a community effort headed by the ACLU, the Human Relations Commission, and other organizations interested in civil rights. So that in 1993, by passage of a city ordinance, the San Jose City Council created the Office of the Independent Police Auditor. At that time, I started as a part-time independent contractor. At that time, I was practicing law in a neighboring county, and so I maintained my practice and was doing the police auditor part-time. I remember asking them before I took the job about how many complaints does San Jose Police get a year, and I was told about 250. So I thought, I think I can do 250 in a year. Well, the first thing that I found as I started my work of auditing and reviewing the investigations was that in addition to 250 complaints, there was a ledger with 1,300 entries, and a ledger that many of those were complaints, but there was no oversight because oftentimes what happens, and I sincerely believe this, that people don't start out with bad intentions to underreport, to hide, to bury complaints. What happens is a discretion, judgment comes in, so that what is a complaint for one officer may not be for another. And what I saw in that ledger, more than anything, was a difference of opinion. There was no standardized process by which to report and document complaints. That was my first undertaking to totally revamp how complaints were being received and how they were being documented and how they were being tracked. And today we're very proud of having one of the best systems for tracking citizen complaints, to make sure that no contact from a citizen goes undocumented. Because I know that when one of my bosses calls me, the mayor or one of our council members, and asks me, what about this complaint? My constituent came and said that he went to your office or to internal affairs and you guys didn't do anything. I want to be able to go back and know exactly what was the disposition of that complaint. So that for 3 years, I worked shortly thereafter full-time, but still as an independent contractor. Why? Because the city wanted to see if this independent police auditor model was going to work, was going to be effective. And so that, there was a commission that was formed to not only study the issue, but also to evaluate our office. And I do want to find out, we'll take a break. I think our equipment is working.
I just wanted to again remind people that we have a simulcast translation equipment here if you need it, in Spanish and in Hmong. Also, I want to recognize that the mayor is present with us tonight, Mayor Alan Autry.
This is KFCF in Fresno, listener-supported non-commercial radio for the Central San Joaquin Valley.
And I understand Councilmember Brian Calhoun
of the
is here.
Police Auditors Forum, Independent
Mayor,
Police Auditors
like
Forum.
Mayor, would you like to say a couple of things? Would you like to say a few words? I know you're on
making
a tight schedule.
Making the presentation just a moment ago was Teresa
maybe you'd
Guerrero Daly, who is a
just like to welcome Ms. Daly,
independent
here,
police auditor from San Jose. Here's the Mayor Alan Autry.
No, I don't want to say too much. I want this to be your forum. I don't want it to be influenced in any way by my personal feelings. At this point, this is informational for you. So I'm going to shut up and sit down.
Mayor Alan Autry, who has come out in favor of an independent police auditor and has put it before the council and proposed that it be done, it is opposed by the Fresno Police Officers Union. And here is Teresa Guerrero Daly once again.
So that in 1996, the mayor, before she left office, and that was Mayor Susan Hammer. One of the things, the very important things that she did was to place a measure on the ballot, the November 1996 ballot, so that the voters, the residents of San Jose, would have an opportunity to decide whether they wanted this form of civilian oversight. Because one of the things that I didn't mention earlier was that the creation of our office was full of controversy. People were torn in different directions as to what style, what flavor. And it was very difficult. At that time, the independent police auditor model didn't exist like it exists now in many other cities that have since adopted it. But the mayor had the foresight to place it on the ballot, which sealed the fact that this is what the voters wanted. And in every district, and I apologize for the fussiness of that. I don't know if you can bring it closer, do it better, but in every council district it passed. And what it did was two things, very important. One, that it created that office as a chartered permanent office so that it couldn't just be abolished if you had a new mayor or a new city council. Secondly, what it did is it created my position, a term position, where I serve four-year terms. I'm on my first year, my second term. And one of the built-in protections for someone in my position was that basically in order to terminate me, it takes 10 of the 11 council members. So that, I don't have to worry about if I take on this issue, am I going to pay my mortgage next week? Very important, again, going back to the cornerstone of our office, and that's independence. What does it cost? Approximately right in the neighborhood of $600,000. That's our current budget. But remember that one lawsuit that our office prevents pays for our office many times over. We are located downtown, separate from City Hall, separate from the police department, because it was very important to our mayor and city council to create an office with the expectation and the perception that we were not an extension of City Hall nor an extension of the police department. Coincidentally, Internal Affairs is one of the few units in San Jose, in other cities that I know of, that doesn't have Internal Affairs as part of the police department. They are also in a professional building, and if you walk into their office or our office, you wouldn't see much difference. Here you will see the structure of our office. I have it's a staff of six. Basically, my assistant and I are attorneys. I have three analysts in very specific areas. Data analysts to do all our statistics. Community relations, very important. And I'll talk to you about that a little bit later. And then a complaint examiner. We have three primary functions, and that is to intake complaints, to audit and monitor the investigations, and to promote public awareness of our office. It's important that the focus be narrowed. I'll give you an example. LAPD has an inspector general. He has the same staff as I do for that large city. Not only that, the police department isn't his only department that he's supposed to oversee. I would strongly recommend that you keep a narrow focus. The business about civilian oversight is a business where you need to, A, be qualified to do the job, know what you're doing in order to have credibility and have confidence, not just from the public, but from the police department. People can come to our office and file a complaint, so it gives them an alternative forum where people don't have to go to the police department or talk to a police officer to file a complaint. Our emphasis is on customer service. Our mayor and city council is that is one of their priorities, to make sure that people don't walk away with feeling like, typical bureaucratic, government employee. We pride ourselves in our customer service. 2 years ago, one of the recommendations from our office was that not only through our office, through the city, but also the police department, people were made aware that the city had zero tolerance for retaliation if somebody filed a complaint. Very important, because our reputation, my reputation, is riding on the fact that if a citizen comes forward to file a complaint, that person has an expectation that they're going to be safe And I make it my business when I hear that, you know, even if it's just in the rumor mill, that some officers were driving by the complainant's house or were, you know, responding when they weren't assigned to respond to a particular call. I can't emphasize that enough. It's got to be a process that people feel safe and have confidence. This chart, I know it's too small, but it's just an illustration of how we track every single contact. Doesn't mean we are launching an extensive investigation for every contact. And I think that was a downfall of what we saw in Los Angeles. It backlogged the investigations, and it doesn't merit. There's a lot of calls where people are not interested in an investigation. They don't want to make trouble for the officers. They want answers. They want to be heard. So that we have many categories of contacts from the public, including mediation, so that it's those the serious allegations of use of force, of any type of damaged or missing property, those areas that warrant an investigation that are investigated, and we average about between 2 and 250 of those serious complaints, and between 4 and 600 of all the contacts. Very important that we also have different languages to service our community. Excuse me. San Jose's population, we have no majorities. It's the majority of minorities. Very diverse community. So that it's important that services be offered in the primary language in San Jose, English, Spanish, and Vietnamese. One of my functions is also to attend the interview of police officers, subject and witness officers. And the questioning is done through the investigator, but with under our observation and with the ability to also give them questions to be asked. That is part of the ongoing monitoring during the investigation of a case, which is done. The investigation is done by Internal Affairs with, you know, our monitoring it. People have a misperception of what an audit is. The audit of an investigation includes us looking at all the reports. There is no restriction as far as access to police information. We must have 100% access to all of these investigations, or else there will always be the perception that something is being hidden. So that it entails not only looking at all the reports, looking at the photographs, visiting the scene, talking to witnesses ourselves, reviewing the completed investigation, requesting added investigation if we're not satisfied that there's an area that could have been done better. For example, sometimes I'll see a case where some witnesses were not interviewed and the reasons being that they couldn't be located. Well, we make our own efforts to locate them too, so that we're not just taking the investigator's word for what's in a report. It involves doing legal research. We need to know that if an officer says this facts happened and it gave me the probable cause for a stop, for a search, that we know that the conduct was within not only the police department's policies and procedures, but, you know, within the law as, you know, it currently is. We also look at the officer's prior complaints to see if there's a pattern, to see if a particular officer is getting a series of similar conduct. And this, I think, perhaps is the one reason why I can stand here before you with integrity and tell you that scandals like Los Angeles, what you saw there, would not happen in San Jose. And the reason they wouldn't happen is not because, you know, I'm not saying that our officers are not susceptible to the same temptations, but the system is in place to where we can easily track and identify repeated conduct. And that's really our focus, to identify the source of the problem. We are not involved, nor am I interested in being involved in the discipline of officers, in dishing out discipline. I believe that is within the responsibility of the chief, and it belongs there. However, if the chief was basically doing just a counseling or very minor for serious allegations, that would be an area.